So please, thank you.
Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die." "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. When the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, then they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I had commanded you not to eat from?" Then the man replied, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some from the tree, and I ate." So the Lord God asked the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "It was the serpent. He deceived me, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children in anguish. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will dominate you." And he said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you are dust, and you will return to dust." Adam named his wife Eve, because she was a mother of all living things. The Lord God made clothing out of skins for Adam and his wife. The Lord God said, "Since man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to look the ground from which he was taken. He drove man out, and east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed a cherubim with a flaming, whirling sword to guard the way to the tree of life.
Thank you. Did you notice that that expression, to be with, is used in both directions? Adam says, "The woman that you gave to be with me," right? Adam says, "The woman that you gave me to be with me, she is to blame." But the expression is, first of all, what I want us to appreciate in the Hausa language. I would say tareta me, with me, not necessarily at the moment I'm talking, but in my life structure, she is the one that is with me. And yet, if you notice, some people take that expression when Eve eats from the tree, and then, not the same moment, because she and the serpent are the only two under the tree. Later on, excitedly say, "This is really great, have some." And yet they say, "No, no," because it says, "It gave to her husband that was with her," as if Adam stood there, spineless, not saying even one word, and then passively receiving a bite of the fruit. And I say, if you have been hearing people teaching you that way, let them know that that is not what the scriptures are saying. That is a linguistic translation into English, what it means is the one that belongs with you and is with you, but not necessarily at a given moment is there also. So Adam was not listening to the whole conversation and disagreement or agreements between Eve and the serpent. Is that clear? Adam was a man in the image of God with a real backbone. And when he ultimately decided to eat, it was because he made a very important choice, unfortunately in the wrong direction. And we saw that his choice took all of human race into trouble. Now, I want to spend a few minutes looking at that case of the serpent and Eve. As you read that passage, what do you make of Eve? We spent this morning time as to the serpent, right? Let's focus a little bit on Eve. Did she behave as the wife of Adam?
Did God tell you, you must not eat it or touch it? No. Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?
Mm-hmm.
And she was, what she and Adam both knew, said, I got this.
Now, did she get the command second hand or first hand? You know, that's another teaching that I have a problem with. Will you please allow me to say that is not in the Bible? But that is a teaching that is taken as scripturally correct. Now, a very simple thing that will show you why I say that. After they ate, I mean, first Eve and then she takes it to him and so on, then certain hours later, towards the sunset of the day, what do they hear and then go and hide? Huh? Footsteps, right? Someone walking in the garden. Now, how do they know it is the Lord? If this was the first time, how do they know who it is? They should have said, wifey, do you hear anyone walking here? Who is it? I don't know. But I don't know either. Is that what they are concluding when they hear footsteps? Does only Adam know who it is?
No.
They knew. Read the passage. They knew who it was. Therefore, this had happened before. But at that time of the cool breeze of the day, the Lord came, and at a certain point in the garden, the three of them started a walk and a talk. And I have no doubt that as they walked, they went towards the center of the garden. And when they got there, the Lord said, now, a little with you. What did I tell you about this tree? Oh, that's the tree of life. Good. What happens when you eat from it? We live. Good. Now, right next to it is another tree. Yes. What's the name of the tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did I tell you about it? Don't eat from it. Why not? It looks so nice, attractive. Yes, but you told us don't eat from it because what? Because the day we eat from it, dying we shall die. Now, is Eve getting it second hand or first hand? Huh? The Lord is reviewing it, and when they hear footsteps, is it only Adam that knows it, or do both of them know? Read the passage. Now, just a minute. does only one recognize who is walking, or do both of them recognize it? Read the passage. Does it say Adam heard footsteps?
The sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden.
So both of them. Did Eve say, Adam, what's the footsteps I hear? Or does she, or is she in full agreement? They know who it is. Right?
I don't think that's the dispute. The dispute is the assumption that you made, your statement that they had conversations about the future.
Why not?
It doesn't say that.
Why not? What is so important, what is more important in the Garden of Eden than the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
I'm not disagreeing.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, it's not here. It's not written that they had gone and had those conversations. Not here.
Okay. What would the Lord be talking about in their walk and fellowship? Oh no, he would give them a special lecture on apple trees. Another one on pear trees. Another one about strawberries. Is that right? But not really talk about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Huh?
Good. All right. Whether we,
chapter 2, verse 16, in my version,
yes.
It says, and the Lord God commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, verse 17, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.
Is Eve created at that time yet?
No.
Okay, that's not what I'm not taking you that far back. In the passage we just read, Eve is also there, right? Eve is also there. And let me ask you another thing. If Eve had gotten it second hand, when the Lord asked the woman, what is this that you have done? What would she have said? My husband didn't make it so clear. I didn't fully understand. So, what can you expect from me? If the woman didn't say that, I would not know what kind of a woman she was. Friends, I know this teaching that Eve got it second hand. That teaching is from hell. It tries to make it easier for Eve and then make it easier for us, because the next thing is, well, the Bible we have today has gone through so many copies. The translations, well, they are not all reliable. So how much should I put into my confidence in the Bible? There's a subtle teaching behind that is not expressed. I was sharing with someone, I think it was today or yesterday. In 1965, on Easter Sunday, 10th of April, I left Michigan for a round-the-world tour, which took 6 months, on behalf of OCF. Before I left, my wife said, now, please, don't give rides to hitchhikers. I want you to be back alive. I said, thank you, sweetheart, for loving me. I'll try and remember that. In Germany, I'm driving a square-back VW, and as I'm on the very busy highway, I saw two ladies with their baggage going like this, you know. And I remembered what my wife said, don't do that. I said, Lord, do I obey my wife or you? He said, me. What do you want me to do? Give them a ride. Okay. I did. Stopped. They put their baggage in the back. One sat next to me, the other one behind, in the seat there. And we were visiting as I go. Excuse me. And to make a long story short, one of them, as our conversation reached the point where she could say that, said, well, The Bible has been handled by so many people through the centuries. How can you put any confidence in it and trust it and go by it? I said, yeah, that sounds really very serious, doesn't it? Yeah. And I said, now, you do not really want to believe what the Bible says, and especially the prophecies and the fulfillment when Jesus came, because, well, it's all in writing, but how much of the writing is reliable? She said, that's right. And one of them was a teacher, the other one was working at a company in Canada. And so I said, okay, I will honor what you said, and we will go back as far as possible where you don't have to have a written thing to go by. You don't have a prophet that says, the Lord sent me to tell you this. It's just the Lord and Eve and Adam. But because you are ladies, we stay with Eve. How much did she know about what she was supposed not to do in the garden? Oh, they were very quick. So, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did she have it first hand, second hand, third hand? Why are so many translations and copies? Oh, no. Did she say, the reason that I added, don't even touch it, I subtracted, you may, or lest you die. Did she say later on, well, my husband didn't transmit to me word for word what you did, and what I understood was there's danger there, stay away from it, don't even go near enough to touch it. Did she complain? Did she try to put the blame on her husband when the Lord said, what is this that you have done? They just looked at me kind of, we're getting cornered here. And I said, now, how much was there between the Lord and Eve when she disobeyed God? Was there any third person? They said, well, it sounds as if she knew enough that she wasn't supposed to eat from it. Is that clear? Yeah. What did she do? She ate. Did she blame anybody else? Did she? No.
The serpent.
Ah. Did the serpent give the command? No. She blamed the serpent because she said, the serpent deceived me and I ate of it. She did not say, I did not get the message clear enough to understand what it meant. So please, be nice to me. Don't be hard on me. Did she blame her husband? If she could blame the serpent, she could also blame her husband, right? Right? Obviously, that was not the problem. Therefore, she did not get it from her husband. When you are in trouble, you look for something that even looks like a robe. You are in the water, and even though it may happen to be a snake, you go for it, you think, well, it may be a rope, I'll get out of it. She is making no reference to her husband. And friends, she did not get it secondhand. I'm fully convinced that when they heard the footsteps of someone walking in the garden, both of them knew who it was. Because this was not happening for the first time. And because both of them knew, both of them quickly ran to hide. It doesn't say only Adam ran to hide. Does it? Does it say both of them? So both of them are guilty, both of them recognize the footsteps, and both of them, when questioned, put the blame on somebody else. But Eve never put the blame on Adam. She only put it on the serpent. There's something here. What is it? Oh, I'm... Okay. Now, you may like to do some more digging in the scriptures, but you are free to disagree with me. Yes.
What difference does it make?
Oh, it makes a lot of difference. Because Satan has been busy in the best of Christian circles teaching things that in a very, very careful but very wicked way is give the thin edge of the wedge to move us away from the 100% confidence in God's Word. That's why I'm concerned. And mark that. He will not come right out and say, God didn't say that, because who will agree with him? But notice now, in order to actually explain it by what we have just read, what is the first thing that Satan says to Eve on this occasion? Of course, I told you he built a friendship, right? You were here for that. Okay. Oops. Somehow, I am in trouble here. He built the friendship so that Eve is fully at home, relaxed, and Satan, through the serpent, is showing a special concern about her. Is it true, lady, that you're so restricted that you cannot enjoy any of the fruits of the tree in the garden? What is this I'm hearing? I'm troubled about it. What is he doing when he says it that way? Read it, please. What did he say to the woman?
At the very beginning, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?
In other words, you are totally, restricted from enjoying any of the fruit of the trees of the garden, right? Isn't that what he's saying? Somehow I discovered that you are very strongly restricted in the garden. Boy, something is going on.
The speaker's a point of reference. You need to stand back here.
Oh, okay.
Or you can go out there or out here.
But not there. Oh, the speaker's, okay.
The speaker's a point of
reference. I'm sorry. Thank you. Hey, praise the Lord. Now we found that. Well, I don't mind staying here. Thank you. Now we found the culprit. Now, notice what he is doing. Is this really true that you are absolutely restricted here? Now, why is he saying that? Did he or did he not know that the restriction was only on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did he know that or not?
Huh?
Of course he knew. Why do you think the name of the tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What does that title mean?
If there wasn't a problem with evil, then there wouldn't need to be a prohibition on the truth.
Mm-hmm. So he is not ignorant of the fact that the restriction in the whole garden is on one tree only. But does he start with that? What does he do with that one restriction on one tree only? What does he do with it?
He blows it up.
He exaggerates it. Of course, we never do that. All we do is, if I said it once, I said it. Exaggeration. That Satan is the teacher of that kind of statement. You know that you haven't said it 1,000. That's what you tell your kids. So we are teaching them the art of exaggerating. It started in the Garden of Eden. And he knows that by starting with that kind of a big statement, even if Eve agrees on one percentage of it, he has got something he hadn't had before. If she gives in on his side, even a little bit, that's more than what he had before. And now Eve, in the most natural way, says, I don't know where you got it from, but the restriction is not on everything. Oh, I can eat anything I like. we can enjoy. But there is one restriction, you're right, there is a restriction, but not on everything. It's the tree over there, they are not under the tree. Otherwise she would not sit there, the tree that's in the midst of the garden. They are walking towards it, most probably, but they are not there under the tree. He says, the Lord God said, she didn't say, my husband told me that the Lord God said to him. She would have been very quick to say that, but that's not. The Lord God said, what? Don't eat from it. Don't even touch it. Because there is a possibility, the word is, lest you die. It may end up dangerous, but not sure. So she already set the stage for the defeat. And as they are talking, they are closer to the tree, and Satan says, you gave me something to stand on and pull you down where I want. He said, lady, he said, the Lord God said, don't even touch it. That's right. Well, look, I'm touching it. Here's the tree I'm touching. I am not dropping dead. Now bring your hand and touch it. You will see that you won't drop dead. Yeah, I'll help you. See? God didn't say the truth. He didn't tell you. The very thing that Eve changed, part of the command, gave Satan the opening to trip her more fully and more easily. Now, why did Eve do that, though? Did she not know any better? And when the Lord said, what is this that you have done? Did she say, my husband transmitted to me in a distorted way? It was not Adam to blame for that, because it wasn't Adam that told her. She knew very well, but she gave that much of a footing for Satan on her own. She exaggerated. Satan exaggerated by spreading the command over the whole garden. She exaggerates by adding, don't even touch it. Because Satan opened the door for exaggeration, she walked right into it. If you don't think so, study how Satan is succeeding today. Even in Christian circles, what I am getting here tonight shows me we are continually adding to what God says or subtracting from it. And I am concerned that we take more time reading just the Bible rather than listening to many, many schools of thought, and you'd be surprised if you do that. The Holy Spirit will honor you, and you will see much more clearly what God is really saying. I challenge you to do it and come up differently.
But what you just told us, the idea of not adding to or taking away, but what you just told us is adding to because it's not there.
What is not there?
The idea of the not being secondhand, that you've got it directly from God.
How can you justify for me that she got it secondhand? No, I'm turning the table around. Show me from Scripture enough to show that she got it secondhand.
Well, sir, from the only reference in the Bible where it says the commandment about the tree was read earlier.
Yes.
But from behind it.
That's right.
It was stated that it was given to the man, and we also said chronologically, based on Scripture, that was before the creation of Eve. Therefore, because just going by Scripture, as you've identified, that's what we're arguing.
That's right.
As a point of reference from. There is not a place in Scripture that says, in fact, Eve specifically was commanded as well. So,
that Eve was what?
That Eve was also firsthand received a recipient of the command. Therefore, the interpretation drawn from the fact that Scripture only says that it was in fact directed to Adam, it's just as reasonable for one to deduce that in fact it is a second-hand argument versus what you're presenting that says no, Eve heard it firsthand. So I think that in terms of interpreting Scripture, I think that's where we're really looking at, not adding to or subtracting from, but just going by what the Word says.
So you are saying between the time that God talked to Adam and a long time later when Adam reaches the point that he says, everything else is Mr. and Mrs., male and female, and I'm only one, and God creates Eve and brings this to her, that the command is only stopped with what God talked to him long before Eve was created. And so God said to Adam, now you tell her what I told you.
No,
just a minute. You are restricting it to Adam now, not allowing God as they walk in the garden. That's why I said the sound of someone walking in the garden is the key to what I'm saying. How does Eve know who it is?
It's not the point.
It is.
However, it's not. In chapter 3, that's very true, Mr. Top. They did walk in the garden, and it does say they both heard the footsteps.
Okay.
We're not in debate over that point.
But what does that mean? How does Eve know who it is?
Because they have perfect. I'm sure they walked.
Okay. And now I'm asking you to simply, just in the simplest way possible, put yourself in the shoes of the Lord, in the position that he has. He comes there, and it is not the first time. They recognize, both of them recognize it, and they walk and talk in the garden, right?
Asking us.
Now, just a minute. Let me finish. But for some strange reason, although God didn't do it once that day, obviously he had come before, but although God talked about various things, he never, in the presence of Eve also, as they reached the center of the garden, he never, in her presence, said anything about the tree of the knowledge.
We don't know. We can make theological assumptions all day, and that's what you're saying, when Satan has come in and deceived many people. Because of theological assumptions, we have to go to to have a biblical doctrine, a biblical theology, but yet we're basing that off of assumptions.
You're asking us to make an assumption because it doesn't say that they talked about these things. You're asking us to add to and assume that they had a conversation.
Okay.
Can I interject something?
Go ahead.
This is just a thought that came to me as we're studying this stuff here. If you look in Genesis 3, when God talked to Eve and he said, "What is this you have done?"
Uh-huh.
God's character is one of perfect justice as well.
Yes.
If he didn't tell Eve, how could he hold her accountable for what she'd done?
Okay, throw that also.
That's the way that we fall accountability for Adam.
Well, we sin ourselves.
We do. But we, regardless of that sin, we are identified with Adam.
Okay, let's go on. And maybe in the coming days, the Lord will help us see more clearly what he has in a nutshell there without many details added. But I think our sister here has a good point. The fact that the Lord is holding Eve responsible, not via Adam, but directly, may be worth chewing at. But I want to leave it for a while, and let's get on. Eve added to the command. Is that true or false?
Yes.
Now, whether she got it from Adam or she did hear it directly from the Lord, the fact is she added to it. Is that true or not? Okay. Is she guilty or not? Okay. That gave an opening to Satan so that he could disprove very easily that touching it wouldn't hurt you. And because that opened the door for Satan to go to the next step, because what you said is not true, you see, you didn't drop dead, now go ahead, step number two. Take and eat. You won't drop dead. Now, is Satan telling the truth or not, that not only touching, but also eating will not make you drop dead? Is that true or false?
Correct question.
No, is that true or false?
Well, it relates directly to what you're asking us right now, because in my version, it doesn't say that Satan grabbed...
No, I know that. I'm saying Eve added. Did she add or not?
Yes.
Okay, would Satan use it or not? That addition is a stepping stone.
It doesn't say,
I never said, it said, I said, because Eve added, Satan could easily use that as a stepping stone for what he wanted. I never said it's written in the Bible. But Eve added, and any time we add to God's word, we are exposing ourselves to Satan's further attacks on us. Now, what did the command, what did the command really have? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat from it, dying you shall die. You shall surely die. Right? Okay. What did God mean when he said that? Spiritual death? Why do you say spiritual death?
Separation of communication.
Okay. Did they understand that when God talked to them? That if they ate from it, they would be separated from him. Did they understand that? If they didn't, God is at fault. He didn't explain it to them. Now, let's be honest with what we are reading. If God never made clear that the word death means our fellowship will be broken, then we really have nothing else to discuss. But if he said, the day you eat from it, you and I will be separated, and that word separated is death. When a person dies, nothing is lost. It's just that the spirit is taken away, the body is still here. Put it on the scales and wait, it's all there. God made it clear that eating from the tree will separate Adam and Eve from God. If God didn't make that clear, friends, we've got a problem with God himself. Now, is the Bible written in such a way we don't understand what he's talking about? Or does God make clear what he's telling us? What's your answer? Okay, therefore they knew. But look what Satan is doing. He, on the one hand, exaggerates, covers the command, makes the command cover all the fruit trees. In an effort to correct the serpent, Eve somehow adds to the command the word, don't even touch it. Now, I'm only suggesting that that was ideal thing for Satan, for he could use that. Now, I didn't say it is written in the Bible that he took, first that he touched it himself, and then that he took her hand and touched it and said, look, you didn't drop dead. I didn't say it's written. I'm only saying the fact that Eve added, don't even touch it, was handy for Satan. Is that too much to agree on? Do you think he ignored it?
That's not what it said.
Did he ignore it?
What he said in verse 4 is, you will not surely die.
Okay.
So he didn't say anything about whether you touch it or not touch it.
When he says, you shall not surely die, what is Eve understanding? What is Eve understanding when he says that to her? You shall not surely die. You shall not be what? Go ahead. What's that?
But in verse 21, and God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And to me, that verse 21 very clearly says the sacrifice of death, God sacrificed animal in their stead, and that animal truly died.
Yes.
And the sacrifice was started at that point for Adam and for Eve,
mm-hmm.
for that sin, because yes, they would truly die.
Physically,
death, and...
But did they die on that day when they ate the fruit?
No.
Oh. So did God mean that you would die physically? If God said it physically, then God didn't tell the truth, because they didn't die that day. Adam lived another 930 years after that. Huh? Yes?
I was going to say, the first past that, I think, is real important, because you're talking about whether he is intending separation or whether he's intending physical death. The next verse says, God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I think this strikes to the heart of what at least Mike and I have been talking about, what you said. It seems like his device here is to cause you not to trust God. Whether it's through exaggeration or whether it's giving him an opening, he is saying you can't trust what God said.
Okay.
Yeah, just like Absalom, we talk about Absalom caused the people not to trust David.
That's right.
Trust Absalom. Just like Lucifer, he had the angels cause him not to trust God. You can't trust him. Trust in me,
yeah.
In what I'm saying, and so he used the opening. Maybe I'm real off.
No, you're on target. He's saying God is not being fair to you. He's keeping away from you something that you should have, and you are deprived of it. I have come to help you and show you how you can have that which God is keeping away from you. That's the very gist of it. And if that is not the gist, what is it that he's offering to her to make her move in his direction and obey God's command and eat? If he is not persuading her that God doesn't love you, he doesn't let you enjoy things that you should, here I am to help you to enjoy them. That's exactly what he did with the angels. The Elohim is keeping you so restricted. You always have to do only what he says. You have no chance for any progress, any enjoyment. Friends, Satan is clever enough to persuade people easily against God by making God appear as not being fair, doesn't care for you enough, doesn't love you enough, and here I am to help you enjoy things that you are missing otherwise. That's all he did. And because Eve is taken in by that, she goes ahead and doesn't say, I have a husband, I'd like to discuss it with him. Did she say that to the serpent? Should she? Should she or not, ladies? Did she do it? Therefore, Satan managed not only to build a fellowship, a friendship with her, but to also so draw her into his own fellowship through the serpent that she actually doesn't make one reference to her husband in the conversation. There is no reference from the serpent nor from Eve to the tree of life. She doesn't say, right next to it is also a tree and we are perfectly, you know, allowed to eat. There's both he and she are not touching that, are not touching the husband. It's restricted only to the serpent and Eve. If that is not a clear illustration of how Satan works, I don't know what would be more clear. And now, let's go the next step. She ate from it. Did Satan tell the truth that the eyes were opened? To see what better? So it means what then? When her eyes were opened, and then she gave also to her husband, and he ate, and his eyes were opened, what did they see? But they were naked. Oh, what a gain. So, is this a plus or a minus for them?
I don't know. Their actions show that they perceived it as a minus.
Okay. Now, he said, I'll tell you why God is keeping you away from this tree. Because he doesn't want you to enjoy something, and I'll tell you what it is. The day you eat from it, you won't drop dead. You won't die. You won't be separate. No. No, your eyes will be opened. You will become like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Now, come on, lady, you don't want to miss that. You will become like God. And you'll know what you are missing now. Now, is Satan telling the truth or not? Will you please go to verse 22 and read that someone aloud? Verse 22 in chapter 3.
Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.
So, what did the Lord God do? Get them out. And because they didn't want to leave, he forced them out. He drove them. Right? Now, will you please listen very carefully? God said, don't eat from it, because the day you eat, you shall surely be separated from me. You shall die, right? Right? Now that they have eaten, what does the Lord God say in verse 22? Look, man, what?
Huh? Has become like the one of us.
By disobeying us, he became like one of us. How do you like it? Did he become like one of the Godhead by disobeying and eating from the tree that he was told not to eat from it? So in order to become like one of the Godhead, you have to disobey God. How do you like that verse? Now be honest now. That's what it says, right? I challenge you to justify that unless you are saying, God says, man has become like one of us. Laugh at his expense. What's that? Oh, what did Satan say? If you eat from it, what will happen? Your eyes will be open. You will become like Elohim, knowing good and evil. So now they have eaten, and God says exactly what the enemy said. They become like one of us, huh? By disobeying us. Now pray, use your head in order to become like God in knowing good and evil, you have to disobey him. Is that what it says? Timmy, do you have the literal translation, please? I challenge you to use your head fully and make sense out of it. Either God is laughing at them, or else we have a problem in that verse.
I think the caveat that was mentioned there in this verse, it also goes back to Catholic arguments that you put away, and the fact that it isn't only spiritual death that's introduced there. Physical death is also introduced there, and that's addressed in Romans, because at the point that sin entered the world, death entered in the world at that time too. At this particular point is when that happened. At the time that the serpent and Eve were talking, they didn't know death because nothing had died. Would you agree?
What do you mean by nothing had died?
In terms of understanding for Adam and Eve or anything in the garden, it was all life and it was eternal. It was perfect with God.
Yeah.
It wasn't death. There wasn't a concept of death. There wasn't anything that was without life until that point. And Anthony, I think, mentioned earlier, or someone he mentioned about the skins from the animals. Those animals were the first death. They gave up their lives to provide the skins to cover Adam and Eve. But at that point, there was physical death in the Eve. And they didn't die immediately, but they did die. And they didn't have eternal fellowship and constant fellowship like they would have had in the garden had they not purposely both disobeyed, elected by their own choice to disobey God. That was the result of sin. For the wages of sin is death. The good news is, as was mentioned, we don't have to rely on Adam only because the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord is direct. So we're very fortunate in that.
May I ask you, what does the title, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mean? Please, will you tell me what it means?
But
the title says the knowledge of evil only? It says of good and evil, right? Right? Let's keep the title complete. Now, when God communicated to them, he used that title, right? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, right? Now, what does that statement mean? What is the knowledge of good and evil? No, what does the knowledge of good and evil is? I'm not asking the consequences. What is this knowledge of good and evil? That's exactly our problem. That's what we have been taught. That the title means the ability to discern between good and evil. And we are calling their state, before they ate from it, the state of innocence, right? Now, pray tell me, did they, by eating from the tree, become able to discern between good and evil? Go to Hebrews chapter 5 and read the last two verses, please. Hebrews 5, the closing statement. It talks about a discerning ability between good and evil, right?
The last two verses say, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Okay. By constant use, exercising your spiritual limbs, you have learned how to distinguish, how to tell between good and evil. If the title meant the ability to discern between good and evil, Satan was offering a shortcut. You don't have to go exercising and exercising until you come to the point where you know how to tell the difference between good and evil. I'm offering it to you with one act. Eat from it and you'll be there, you'll be mature, you'll know. If the title meant that, then Satan succeeded and told the truth. If after they ate, they got the ability now to tell the difference. And if they got the ability to tell the difference, why is God angry with them and drives them out of the garden? If that's what they got, God is very unfair now, because he says, out, I don't want you here. And they don't want to, so he drives. Why? Now they've got the ability to tell the difference. And yet in Hebrews 5, God's goal is for us to mature enough to be able to tell. Friends, you've got a problem with that verse. Yes.
Can I suggest what that means? Knowledge of good.
Right.
A visceral, experiential knowledge. Something not just I know. They knew they were not to eat. So they knew it was bad.
Oh.
What? They knew that they were not to eat of that tree.
They knew that.
They didn't learn that because they ate. But they gained a knowledge, and when the reason it gives, the scripture gives for Eve having eaten, where she now saw that it was good to eat, it was good for food, it was pleasing to the eye, and it was good to make one wise. Uh-huh. There's now a visceral, experiential knowledge that is that now brought the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, love and support.
Okay, but did she get the ability to tell the difference?
No, I'm not suggesting.
No,
I'm saying the knowledge of good and evil, I think, is a visceral knowledge, not a discerning knowledge.
Oh.
A visceral knowledge.
Okay. But here is a very simple answer. With that, I will close. I think we have gone over time. As you look into the two statements that the serpent made, listen carefully. When he said, "Is it true that you are not allowed to have any of the fruit of the garden?" He used exaggeration, right? Right? But there was an element of truth in the statement. There was a restriction. But it was only for one tree. He spread it over the whole area. So he was saying something that was both true and false. Right? In the same statement. The second time the serpent speaks, he says, "I'll tell you why you are told not to eat, because you shall not surely die once for all. I want you not to be afraid at all. You shall not die, but I'll tell you what will happen. Your eyes will be opened, and you shall become like Elohim, knowing good and evil." Did he tell the truth? Is that statement 100% true? Okay, so both statements of the devil through the serpent have element of truth and an element of lie. Therefore, very simply, I'm suggesting to you, the knowledge of good and evil is a mixture of good and evil, rather than the ability to tell the difference, whether mentally or in experience. I want to honor what you are saying. But the statement, the knowledge of good and evil, friends, is a mixture. And to this very day, 6,000 years later, we are still living in a world where things are mixed up. Tell me one vital issue which is not the one that for which you can say yes and it is okay, or absolute no. Isn't it true that most of the problems we come up with, we have to decide on or vote for, have elements of truth, good, and elements of not truth, dangerous? Satan himself in his own two utterances, has mixed truth and lies. And he's being honest to the very tree that has that name. You see, God very simply put the tree of life, and I say that represents Jesus Christ, he is life. He also put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represents Satan, who knows what is true, but he will not stay with it, and what he offered to Eve was each time a mixture of good and evil. Now, coming to verse 22, and the Lord says, oh, look, man is changed. Is he changed for better or worse? Now, literal translation of Dr. Robert Young, friends, says, the verb there in the Hebrew is not the verb to become, it's the verb to be. And the past tense of the verb to be is what? Was. So, literally translated, it should read, look, man was as one of us. We created him in our image, free of eating a mixture of good and evil. He isn't anymore. And now, if we leave him long enough to eat from the tree of life, he will be conditioned forever in the mixture, no way of saving him. So, let's get him out of here so we have a chance to lead him to repentance and salvation through the Lamb that will be sacrificed for him. I suggest strongly for you to consider that the title, the devil is busy tonight. I don't know where I go, where I'm free from it. But we prayed for this because we sensed before we came to this meeting that enemy forces will attack this meeting. Right? It was shown to us as we had a prayer meeting before the meeting started here that enemy forces were planning to attack this meeting, and I can see that that was very, very true. We had more time not going on with all that we had for tonight, but I'm suggesting to you to consider that the title means a mixture of good and evil. God never eats anything like that. Created Adam not to eat anything like that. What a pity. Lo, man was as one of us as to the knowledge of good and evil, eating mixture. He is not anymore. The change is not for the better, it's for the worse. And the danger is he will try to continue being here, not repenting, because he can eat from the tree of life. No, we have to get him out of here so that he will see what he lost, repent, and then when we present the way of salvation, those that want to and repent, we can help them. Amen? I think we better close. And Lord, we thank you because you have proven that we are in a spiritual warfare, that Satan doesn't like to see us uncover the subtle ways that he uses to deceive the best of us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will so work in each one of us that we will detect the devices of the enemy, both for ourselves and for others, and protect one another from becoming victims of the attacks, subtle attacks of the enemy, because we wrestle not against human beings, they're not our enemies, but against principalities, against authorities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. And we pray for victory there in Jesus' name. Amen.